Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. Jane Ellen talking to Adam Cravens, movie review time.
And we saw Shaft and The Dead Don't Die.
Let us start with Shaft. First of all,
those are two separate films.
Yes.
It's not Shaft and a zombie movie, which, by the way,
I would watch.
I'd watch.
Yeah. Have you seen the original?
The Shaft in Africa, Shaft. I have, but it has been a number of years since I have.
Okay, I didn't know there was a Shaft in Africa.
There's a Shaft in Africa. There's a third one, and then there's the fourth one that Samuel L. Jackson starred in, I want to say it's 1999 or 2000, also called Shaft. And then this year's 2019 movie, also called Shaft. Not Shaft Returns, not Shaft 5, not like Shaft, you know, taking it to the streets or whatever. Calling it shit. Kind of like similar to what Halloween that
came
out.
Well, that's what
out.
I was going to ask. Where in the Shaft timeline does any of this fall, or does it simply not matter?
Ultimately, if you have never seen another Shaft movie, it's not going to matter. There are little kind of nods to the other films, but they're not intrinsic to the plot. Like in the 2000 version.
I need to know, is Shaft still a private dick who's a sex machine with all the chicks?
I don't know if it's all of them,
I see.
But the ones that will consent to it.
I see.
He's respectful.
At any point, does someone say, shut your mouth?
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
Yes, they're aware of their legacy in this
I've
film.
I've always loved that song.
In this one, the interesting dynamic that they really get out of it, and I wish they would have kind of milked a little bit more out of this. You have Samuel L. Jackson, which is technically Shaft Jr., and his son, who would be Shaft the Third. And Roundtree also makes an appearance as Grandpa Shaft, or the original Shaft.
So Shaft is the last name, yes?
Or
is it like Chewy? It's just his name.
Let me look this up to make sure. I'm trying to remember now. Like, because they ever call each other are...
Is Shaft. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is the last name, I believe.
See, I know I've seen Shaft, but it was many, many years ago. And I know the song far more than I know the movie. But...
Yeah, it has John Shaft. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I just
John
took it through.
John Shaft.
It's John Shaft the First, okay. John Shaft Jr., and John Shaft the Third.
Which reminds me, you need to Google, I want to say, ukuleleorchestra.com, and they do a version of Shaft, which is delightful.
It's honestly, it's one of those themes that almost supersede the property itself. Like, people that have never seen any of the Shaft movies more than likely have heard, it's Isaac Hayes, isn't it? I'm remembering
mm-hmm.
that right. Have heard
Shut
the Shaft thing. The Mission Impossible theme. If you have never seen episode one of the TV mm-hmm. series or any of the Tom Cruise-led movies, chances are, if I start playing the dun-dun-dun-dun, like, you know that. Like, the theme with this, like I said, is it's almost more popular than the property itself.
You know, if Robert Blake hadn't have killed his wife and gotten away with it. He did get away with it, right?
I believe he did.
Yeah. We would be talking about Keeping Your Eye on the Sparrow.
But.
Beretta.
Yeah.
Yeah. But because of that, the kind of.
That is quite the snag.
Yes. So anyway, Shaft. If you don't know the song, you need to visit it because it's very catchy.
It is. I guarantee that there has to be at least 17 different versions on YouTube.
Let me share with you a brief story, because I don't often get to tell my Tony Orlando story.
No,
where I was backstage, filming a TV show with, you know, him and Larry the Cable Guy. And I wasn't starstruck, but I did appreciate the fact that I did watch Tony Orlando as a child. I was the child. And certainly never would have expected to have a conversation with him. I never thought, oh, I want to meet him, you know, like 10-year-old Jane.
But then...
When
it happens
talking
later.
Talking to Tony Orlando. I mean, I immediately called my sisters. You're not going to believe who I'm talking to. I'm talking to Tony Orlando.
I'd also wager Samuel L. Jackson probably got into the same situation in this movie, because I guarantee you he saw those movies... like either as a child or a young man, but he probably never thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be Shaft. I will be Shaft.
There's a reason why I mentioned Tony Orlando, because I specifically remember on his show, he came out in a gold lamé jumpsuit and chains and sang the theme to Shaft. And I reminded him of that when we were having one of our many conversations.
I love the bombast of the 60s and 70s. Like the fact that, and when he did that, it was probably, no one said anything. It wasn't weird.
No,
like,
it wasn't at all.
That's somebody came out and crushed velvet. You're just like, that's a sharp looking coat.
I'm sure that Dawn made fun of him for his outfit, but that was their shtick.
I'm gonna say, if I could rock something like that, now I would look strange in that. But
know,
oh my goodness, if I
totally
could pull
it
off,
work.
I'd every day. Well, mm-hmm. Probably not on warm days, but days that it was appropriate to wear it.
And then he wanted me to get his cough drops. But anyway, I digress.
I bet you never thought that was gonna happen.
No, certainly never.
I'll get his cough drops.
Oh, but I didn't. So yeah, interesting. So Shaft, it is a great song, and there you have it. So this is All in the Family, Shaft, and is there like a running theme of crime being solved, or is it just generically John Shaft, and he solves generic crime, and he's cool and has a theme song?
Well, unfortunately, much in the same way that the third Ace Ventura let us know that...
There was a third one?
Yes. Jim Carrey was not involved in it, so it just has his son in it. And it's revealed, evidently, that...
You mean Son of the Mask?
No, Ace Ventura. Ace Ventura 3. Jim Carrey has nothing... There is a second mask also that Jim Carrey has nothing to do with. They apparently didn't look at those movies and go, you know what people love about these movies? It's not Jim Carrey in the lead role. It's the mythology of these... No. But anyway, it's revealed that Ace is a deadbeat father because... That's what everybody wants to hear about the hero of the first two movies, that he's a deadbeat, has nothing to do with his son's lot, like just nothing. And unfortunately, apparently all the Shafts are pretty terrible dads.
Oh.
The beginning of the movie sets up John and his wife.
John Shaft.
And are we going to do that?
Yes, I think we are.
I figure we're not going to get an opportunity to do it again. We might as well. His wife and his then infant son. John is working on a case, and apparently
so this
somebody.
Is Richard Roundtree, John Shaft.
No, this is Samuel L. Jackson,
John Shaft.
John Shaft the second Shaft. In, I believe it tags it in the 90s.
Okay.
And they recognize his car and start shooting at it. And basically, his wife is just like, "You need to get out of this life. This is not what I want. This is not safe for your son. You need to stop this." John does not stop this. His mm-hmm. wife ends up leaving him, takes his son, moves to a better part of town. You're Jefferson, if you, mm-hmm. if you will. They moved on up to the east side.
Mm-hmm.
But John occasionally sends.
To. Was it a deluxe apartment in the sky?
They don't actually ever show it, but I'd be disappointed if it was not.
Okay.
John occasionally sends his son, like, gifts. He's not completely absent in his life, but, like, he doesn't visit him, like, and some of the gifts are inappropriate. But one that is in keeping with the Shaft character.
I see.
If that makes any sense.
Yes, it does. Okay.
And eventually, John Shaft III.
John Shaft.
Joins the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And
so we had police officer, FBI.
Well, I think it's police officer.
Oh, I'm sorry, Private Dick.
Private Dick, police officer quits, becomes mm-hmm. private investigator, and now they're apparently they love solving crime.
Yeah,
they love it. But he is not your typical Shaft either. The third, he is a data analyst. So, like, it's not...
He's kind of like Jack Ryan.
Yes, but, like, he is in the early... Ryan. He's not even like that... You know how Jack Ryan's a data analyst, but, like, dude is still, like, all kinds of ripped,
mm-hmm.
and, like, he's always getting himself into, like, situations he's got to get out and shooting his way out. John's son is not like that.
I see.
He is...
Is he played by, you know...
The...
You know who I'm going to say, Guy...
Jaleel White.
That one.
He is not. It's the the guy that played not Will Smith in Independence Day. Is it Resurgence, I believe?
Uh-huh.
The one that he was the Captain Hillary's
yes.
son.
So not Will Smith.
In that, not Will mm-hmm. Smith. Like, whenever Will
He's
Smith is like,
that.
This is how much money I cost, and they're like, holy cow.
Let's that, get not Will
wow,
Smith.
Wow, that is an incredible amount of money. We cannot afford you. But they.
Can I do that?
He is. Now, if they do need fodder for another Shaft movie, finding out that he fathered Steve Urkel and, like, somehow left him on, like, you know, an orphanage doorstep.
And, was another bad
and they have
father.
To get him in there. Yeah, well, I mean, it's in keeping with the character.
Because then he could say, did I do that? John Shaft.
John would just be like, what'd he take them glasses off?
At any point, does Samuel L. Jackson ask anyone to get those snakes off of that
plane? No, there are no snakes in that. But he is
using his favorite word
a lot, mm-hmm. like a lot. Like just he is as un-PC as you can be in a movie nowadays and still get away with it.
Oh,
like he just kind of dances.
Refreshing.
He dances on that. Well, I mean, John Shaft was never a character that I would say was all about like fairness, inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being PC like.
But no one understands him like his woman.
Not John Shaft.
Yeah.
He's, yeah.
There's, he's the man.
Man, that really is just a fantastic song. it legitimately is.
You could have a whole conversation, as we have. So, the movie itself, entertaining?
It is a very large departure from the, like, okay, if you saw the 2000, which at this point is 19 years old, it is a very straightforward kind of suspense thriller.
Mm-hmm.
This one plays more like a Rush Hour or a Lethal Weapon, which kind of I didn't read a lot about the movie.
So it's like the both father-son Shaft buddy?
Yeah. Okay. They are essentially like he gets suspended.
Forky, one of the buddies.
No, but I mean, Disney's pretty particular about their properties.
Forky Shaft.
Fork Shaft. He's a con, but no one understands him like Woody.
Fork Shaft.
Or Buzz. But like more like that's what they like. John is constantly having to correct, and he's just being like, that's your mama talking right there. He's like, uh-huh. That's not how it like John. At one point, like his son goes before he asks his dad for help, goes into this basically a drug dealer's den, and he's like, hey, I need some information. Did you see this guy right here? And they're like, what? Who wants to know? And he's like, nobody. No, just me. He's a friend. He's my friend. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to do. So they pop him over the head. Like he ends up like waking up, I think, in an ER. And John goes in there, finds the guy, and he's like, "Did you do this to my boy?" And like he's just pistol whipping people. He's shooting people in the leg. Like he's taking him out there. He's like, "I need this information." And he starts like breaking the guy's hand. He's like, "You broke my hand." And he goes, "No, I broke your fingers. This is what it sounds like when I break your hand." And then he breaks his other finger. Like.
Mm.
You start seeing like the very large juxtaposition between like the elder Shaft and the younger Shaft, and it's played to a reasonable degree of comedy.
Do you know who created pistol whipping, or at least made it a thing?
I'm a Wyatt Earp, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. Oh, wow. that totally. I believe that
because
right
he
there.
Was so tall.
He could just turn it around and mm-hmm. use it like a hammer. That well,
mm-hmm.
you learn something new.
And then
day.
Of course he made this movie, so that kind of.
And he really sold it, like, with that right there.
Well,
if that is a lie, it's my favorite lie of this week. It was directed by Tim Story, who, if you are unaware of, did Fantastic Four and Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
I see.
Tim Story is not one of my favorite directors, would not have been the person I would have picked to direct this movie. He directs comedies, but I feel like the problems or any of kind of the underachievement in this movie probably fall to him. Sam Jackson, very, very amusing. The concept, very amusing. I can't think of a bit of casting in this movie that I was just like, that doesn't work for me. But there are parts of the movie that just don't feel authentic. And every movie I've ever seen Tim Story direct, I haven't really I think he also did Barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
I just intrinsically I don't like the movie. I might like an actor in the movie, But, like, the movie itself always feels like it's lacking. And that's something of what I felt like after watching Shaft. The movie itself was a little bit underwhelming. Sam Jackson's performance as Shaft was excellent. Like, if there was anybody that was going to take that mantle from him, I think this is definitely that guy. And that dynamic, if Sean Connery hadn't decided to retire, it would have worked in Indiana Jones 4.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, it's an interesting concept. And who wouldn't have, well, not so much the Shia LaBeouf, but everybody would have had fun with Harrison Ford and Sean Connery again.
Mm-hmm. How much has it made its opening weekend?
Oh, it's done awful. There will not be another, like, it opened, I want to say, 7th.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, it was not an expensive film. I want to say they said $30 million. But, like, with an opening like that, Shaft is also not a property that plays around the world. Like, yeah. It has a very specific demographic. So, like, if it doesn't make its money domestically, it can't count on, say, the Chinese box office to save it. And I don't know that any of the Shaft movies either A, played or B, played well in China, which is your, at this point, your second largest market. And like I said, I don't think they're just going to be sliding in there and just being like, oh, I love those Shaft movies. They're fantastic. Yeah. Yeah.
It is fascinating to me how China affects the movies we see, or whether there'll be another one because of the global domination. And I know you don't keep up with this, but cosmetics wise, the entire Asian market is profoundly involved in the success of certain companies.
In my head, I said, how does she know I don't know about it? And then you said it, and I go, oh, wow, she pegged that. I earned that tag right there. Mm-hmm. Not a clue.
Never really thought about it. But no. There you go. It's one of those things. You are listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Allen talking to Adam Cravens. We're doing movie reviews, and next up...
Well, let me say one more thing. It does not exactly tie directly into the movie, but it's about the theater that I saw it in.
Is it about Tony Orlando?
I was out of town whenever I saw this one. We were in Birmingham, Alabama, and I got to see it at an AMC dine-in. If you have never been to an AMC dine-in theater, the theater seats recline.
What?
They are heated. You have trays with a cup holder in front of you. There is a full bar. There is also a restaurant. You can order, like, hamburger, French fries, and a salad, and go get yourself a beer and take it on in to the theater.
So it's a chair like in WALL-E?
Yeah, actually, it can't hover and float you around, but yeah, like, think like that. It was just, now, the prices are pretty outrageous. Like, you're talking about, like, you know, $14 for, like, a hamburger, French fry, like, and that's not even saying that you get one of the higher end, like, like, you can get, you know, a steak or whatever. It's insanely priced, but, like, the theater is just, it's incredible. Stadium seating, like I said, you can fully recline. Like you were sitting in a Lazy Boy at your house, recline while the heated chair essentially massages your back.
Well, you know, I guess that does make sense, because as we stream more and more and we can have a really good theater experience at home, what is going to make us, the people, go out to a theater to see things?
If you have an opportunity to see a movie in an AMC dine-in, take it. Like I said, even if you don't get, because, like, I didn't pay, you know, $30 for the meal or whatever, but it was just, if you want it, like, they've got it.
Do they have someone who will get up in the middle of the movie and use the restroom for you?
I don't understand how that would work, but...
Imagine if it did.
It was in the nicer side of Birmingham, so, I mean, probably. They'd just be like, may I take your old bedpan? So. yes, James. Bring it back. I got the big gulp.
Yeah. I knew a guy who started an app that it was just a little bit after Rotten Tomatoes started, and his app, I don't think it exists anymore, but it was called RunPee, RunPee.
It actually does. It's connected.
Oh, RunPee still exists?
It is connected to, it's either Fandango or AMC's app itself. And you can connect to it whenever you see the movie to tap, and it will tell you.
Yes.
Yeah, like, If anything, I would say it's larger than whenever you and I interviewed him,
mm-hmm.
like at that point.
And I just remember it was him, like his mom, his brother, his girlfriend. They were seeing all those movies, and it was such a brilliant idea. I'm glad that it exists because.
Well, again, it's to the point. It's like I don't remember if it's AMC or Fandango. It's one of the or maybe it's Atom, ATOM. Not I don't mm-hmm. have a movie app.
We know yet. Well, you know what? Then if he's still doing that, then we need to
get him back on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's delightful. Well, anyway, in case if you didn't know what Run P was, it means you can leave and the summary will be there on your phone with you, like as if you're gone for 5 minutes, and it'll tell you like three different times.
It'll be like
to leave
19,
where you won't miss a lot.
19 minutes and 28 seconds in. This scene is ultimately superfluous.
Yeah. They're just eating a sandwich.
You have precisely 3 minutes. It's kind of an interesting concept because you can't pause and you don't want to miss, key plot details mm-hmm. or whatever. But it's kind of an interesting concept for an app.
Mm-hmm. And, you remember talking to him. He had to go and see everything
yeah.
as soon as it opened to get it posted. So, yay for Run P. Anywho, the next movie that you saw.
The Dead Don't Die.
Bill Murray.
Yep.
Are we loving it?
I loved Bill Murray in the movie. The film itself, I thought was a little bit slowly paced. It's an interesting concept. And it's not one that necessarily is going to break the bank either, budget-wise.
So what's the story?
You have a situation that is causing, like, days to run longer than nights. Like, more or less, they've been – they're very kind of vague about the science of it, but they have been, like, fracking and, I guess trying to mine at the North and South Pole, and they have kind of created activity that has changed like day and night, like the moon, like it's causing like magnetic interference. Basically,
is it upsetting the Morlocks?
I don't think they mentioned that, but I mean,
probably
if there's a sequel, they could always do that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the science is not, they don't go into it a lot, but anyways, stuff's going on and it's messing with people. Eventually, this leads to the dead walking.
So it's not, it's a virus and it makes you want to eat brains type of zombie story. It's,
but they are zombies.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it is someone who has died of whatever cause is now a zombie.
And they also thirst for human flesh. And whenever they bite those humans,
they make more zombies.
Right.
Okay.
And
so
Bill Murray is your small town sheriff, like your Andy Taylor,
mm-hmm.
if you will, just like an older guy. Like he's grown up with everybody in the town. Like the very first scene, which is one of the funniest, one of the guys that he graduated with who lives in the woods and like just eats, berries and vermin and stuff like that. Someone has, I know. Yeah. I guess it's funny.
I wonder how many people I graduated with live in the woods eating berries and vermin.
He is being accused of stealing one of the chickens.
Did it have a pretty mouth?
They don't go into that.
I see.
So, I mean, it could have. But anyways, like he more or less like, he's like, no, I didn't. And he's got a gun and he's trained on him and like he is shooting at them. Like he's not the small town sheriff knew this guy and he knows he's like, he's a good enough shot. If he wanted to shoot us, he would have shot us.
Right.
Adam Driver, who plays Kylo Ren,
yes.
is his deputy. He's
a donut.
Bill. Yes. Yes. He's got his gun trained on him mm-hmm. and like Bill Murray is putting, he's like, put the gun down. And he's mm-hmm. like, all right, well, we're leaving. Okay, we're getting out of here. And he's like, it's illegal to fire at a deputy of the, and he's like, I know what the law is. Okay, just listen, I know this guy. He didn't steal the chickens. Okay, I promise you, this is not, whoever actually did it, this is not that guy. Like, it's that type mm-hmm. of feel to it. And eventually, like, weird stuff starts happening. You have like, passerbys coming into the town and they're recognizing strange things. You've got Adam Driver's actually the one that eventually calls it, and he's like, well, what do you think it is? And he's like, well, boss, it looks like it's the undead.
Yeah.
I mean, just picture, if you will, an episode of the Andy Griffith Show with Don Knotts is just, and Andy's like, well, Barn, what do you think's going on with Goob and Floyd? And he'd be like, well, Andy, I'll tell you, the dead are walking. That's what, yeah, and the only way to kill them, you gotta shoot them in the head. You just got my one bullet right here. I want to see this episode now that we've started.
So it is essentially a comedy?
For the most part. It is not devoid of comedy. I just don't, the concept and the inclusion of Bill Murray set this thing up for greatness. And as it was, a lot of times when Bill Murray was not on the screen, I wanted him to be back mm-hmm. on the script. But I mean, to be fair, that's how I feel about it. Even movies Bill Murray's not in.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what this movie could use?
Mm-hmm.
Bill Murray. So if every film, like, okay, let's say that you have a movie and it's 3 hours long and Bill Murray's in it and he is in every second of that movie. Your movie does not have enough Bill Murray in it.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to be in the credits. He needs to do the prologue. Like, he needs to be the one singing your score. That's how fantastic Bill Murray is. I love Bill Murray. And this movie, I don't know if having him in it overshadowed, like, any of the other. And, I mean, you've got some reasonably large. Danny Glover is also in the movie.
Was not getting too old for that.
No. Well, I mean, not for this movie. Yeah. He was too old for Lethal Weaponing, but, like, not for this.
So, any Twinkie jokes?
No. No, Ernie Hudson does not appear and talk about...
I meant the Bill Murray.
Oh, okay. No. Okay. Sorry. It always comes back to Ghostbusters. it's all that I hear.
I was trying to have a conversation with a 24-ish-year-old, reasonably intelligent person who thought they had might have seen Ghostbusters the one time, perhaps.
I
died just a little.
I don't understand how everyone hasn't seen that movie
thousands
of times.
I know. And... we're told we're not supposed to judge, and yet we do. That's what it comes down to.
That's how I roll.
Yeah, pretty much. If you don't find Ghostbusters real funny,
there is something medically wrong with you,
mm-hmm.
and you should probably seek help immediately.
Yes,
like go to the hospital. Don't stop at any stop signs. If somebody does pull you over, tell them that you don't like Ghostbusters. They'll probably transport you there. They'll mm-hmm. just be like, "Oh my, what's wrong with you? Here, get out of here, man. Are you rabid? What is wrong?"
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it.
But it happens anyway. Movies. The movie I know that I plan to see on Tuesday, because this is Sunday for us, would be the Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, the John Spider-Man?
and
the fine
company.
Fellow that owns that bagel shop?
In yes.
Yeah, John
yes.
Spider-Man.
John Spider-Man. So that does come out Tuesday, right? Preview Tuesday?
Is that 7? Yeah, it should.
Yeah,
it should,
the 2nd.
I believe,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So other than that, what else is coming out against that for the 4th of July weekend?
Marvel has kind of built itself a brand that you do not... in the same way that, like... Let's say episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
There are not a lot of movies out there that are going to be A, stupid enough, or B, a large enough draw. And I mean, even if that, let's say that, okay, Disney doesn't own Marvel and Star Wars. Why would you want to put a property that has that strong of an impact up against another movie that is probably going to take away, like, They're behemoths,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to get in front of that bus because it is going to run you over. I think in the same way, when people see, okay, well, A, it's Spider-Man that has a lot of like name recognition, and it's a Marvel Studios movie, which means that it also has that brand recognition to the point they're like, you know, the last time they released one of these, it made $350 million domestically opening, not in its run, in its opening weekend. We should probably get away from this thing if we want to be able to rub 2 cents together.
Mm-hmm. So that's really the only big one opening this coming week.
I mean, yeah. Like I said, if you're intelligent in any way, why would you... You're going to make Disney angry. Mm-hmm. You're going to make Marvel angry.
And Toy Story 4 is still making money.
And I don't think that those are necessarily, like, looking for the same audience.
Correct.
Like, if you would have put Spider-Man, like, 3 weeks after Endgame, they're definitely the same audience.
Mm-hmm.
Toy Story, like, while still impactful for, like, adults, is probably skewering to a younger demographic, if you will.
And in watching Toy Story 4... I do believe I only heard one Don Rickles line because I was intentionally listening for him and Jim Varney.
I did research it a little bit further. He didn't record any dialogue for this, but over the past 25 years, they've gotten mm-hmm. tons of audio of him from the previous three Toy Story movies, plus his career outside of the Toy Story movies. Evidently, they compiled it from just like they got the permission of his family and said, right. Hey, you know, he was a big part of these movies. We still want him to do this for obvious reason. He can't do it himself. Do we have your permission to do this? Like you guys have, you know, approval. We're not going to do mm-hmm. anything obscene with it, but we do want him to be a part of it. And they gave their blessing, said, go ahead. I'm sure they were compensated for it, but mm-hmm. he did not get to record, right. yeah, anything yeah. for it.
But there could have been, you know, there are scenes when all the toys are talking at once. He could have been mixed in there, but I know I heard him say one thing alone, and that's all I recalled. So,
yeah, it was not a wealth like it
and
he usually
Costanza
does.
And Mrs. Costanza wasn't in it.
How weird would it? How do you explain Mr. Potato Head being there if? Mrs. Potato Head, like, isn't... I mean, do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, you have to explain...
Did she pass away, too?
I don't remember. I mean, it may have just been... It's already a crowded
yes.
set of, like...
That poor woman. Her name is not Mrs. Costanza, but Adam knows who I'm talking
about.
I do. About.
Oh, it's also not Mrs. Potato Head.
Exactly.
But if you were to give me a choice on which name I took, probably going to be Costanza
yeah.
over... Mrs. Potato.
Anyway, Toy Story 4, yes, it is a good film, and you should see it. But we reviewed Shaft, which you can certainly wait till it comes on the streaming service.
I mean, honest to goodness, like, TNT is probably yeah. going to run, like, a Shaft marathon
probably.
At some point.
I think Labor Day weekend, maybe.
I can see that.
And then you have The Dead Don't Die.
Which
do they ever in this? I mean, do we have closure? Do the dead die, or do they just keep not dying?
I don't want to ruin the ending. It's a little strange.
I see.
Just to the point, like not. Oh, that was out of left field. Like head scratching.
Hmm.
Strange. I was just like, wait, what? Well, that.
So this is over.
That'd be.
And, interesting.
That'd be even strange in a Wes Anderson film. That's
wow.
That's
okay.
Unusual. And I mean that guy
he
dances to the beat of a very different drum.
Well, interesting. So you can wait, I guess, on that one as well. It's not a run out and see it.
If you are a Murray completionist, like if you do need to ingest everything that Bill Murray does, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I would suggest it then, but as far as like just the merits of the film itself, I would say you can wait,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, for a Redbox or, you know, HBO Go or whatever. Neither of them I thought were exceptional movies. I'd argue that Shaft was probably the more entertaining of the two. But I also love a good buddy cop movie.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I do
you
too.
Know.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.